Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, June 19th, 2017. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you?
I am good. Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
It's great to have you here. Jeff Butts, how are you?
I'm cranky, but I'm good.
You know, I'll take cranky but good, because that means there's a high likelihood that you'll have something good, interesting, or at least entertaining to say on the show today.
I hope so.
So do I. Anyhow, we might as well just jump right into it. First, belated Happy Father's Day to everyone out there that serves as a father in any capacity. Every one
Indeed.
Of you rocks. So first topic for today. There is proposed law in the European Union that totally goes against the philosophy we're seeing about privacy, digital privacy and encryption in the United States and the United Kingdom, and would not only protect the privacy that we have through encryption, but would also require companies that are not currently offering encryption through their products and services to start doing so. Mm-hmm. And I'm just finding this absolutely fascinating. I've been doing some digging into this. You have as well, Jeff. What's your take on this?
Oh, I went on a complete rant. I went on an educated rant. What I want to know is, why on earth is the United States doing the exact opposite of what it should be doing with regards to this? You know, this is the land of the free. Our Constitution guarantees us freedom from unreasonable searches and seizures. So why is it that the European Parliament is leading the charge on protecting digital privacy?
Oh my God! I hate you! You're putting me in the position of having to argue against you on this.
Bring
because
it.
Here is why this is an argument anywhere. Because the Constitution does in fact guarantee us theoretically. I say in fact in theory, but whatever. mostly pedantic. Protection from unreasonable search and seizure. The problem is that the only way to have protection against unreasonable search and seizure in the digital age is to simultaneously have protection from reasonable search and seizure, lawful search and seizure. That's why this is an issue. Right? 'Cause so the problem is right now that law enforcement can obtain a warrant and serves that warrant lawfully. They lawfully obtain a warrant for a legitimate case. There's no shenanigans. You know, judge has signed off on it. They've got a warrant. They go serve that warrant. Boom. Can't do anything. Can't get the data. Can't get the information. Can't get on the phone. Now, I very specifically agree. I believe that it has to be that way so that we can have the protections against the bad guys, against foreign agents, against criminal hackers, but this is why this argument exists.
Since when does paranoia and fear rule the day?
Since always.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing: the problem isn't so much that we don't have. The problem is that we don't have a recent document. The problem is that the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution is so old that it no longer applies to modern methods of communication. That's why the EU can do this, because they're constantly updating their language. Why aren't we?
Well, we could be. I mean,
what we're doing is updating our interpretation while leaving the rights intact.
I got to defend the Constitution here. The issue here is the Constitution doesn't deal with digital with digital realities, because the Constitution is set up in such a way that the laws of the land can be shaped to deal with
right
new evolving.
And Article 7 of the European Charter of Fundamental Rights hasn't changed. They're not changing, and I misspoke there, they're not changing the language of the charter. They're elaborating on it. They're explaining it in legislation, which I suppose in a wrong-minded way of thinking, to my point of view, the U.S. government's doing that too, but they're explaining it to say, no, this doesn't include your digital communication.
I'm also fairly, not I'm not fairly, anyway, I'm compelled to point out that it's not just the U.S. England is what the U.K., I should say, is way ahead of the U.S. in stripping us of any protections against the bad guys. Because they get, first of all, they are being subjected to multiple terrorist attacks recently.
Right.
And the reality is that whenever a people are fearful, they will throw their protections out the window in order to, you know, find safety from whatever is making them scared. And the knee-jerk reaction of law enforcement in particular, we saw that with James Comey, the now former FBI director, where he felt that his agency's need to get into devices was the only important thing. But then, of course, you've got the intelligence services professionals who say, no. I know it's terrible that you can't get into this data when you need it. But on balance, having the United States be protected against the rest of the world actually outweighs law enforcement's need to get into any individual's phone or data, right, et cetera. But, so it's not just the U.S. And while the U.K. is trying to leave the EU, they are still part of the EU, too. And I don't know if there's any. Is this thing that's happening in the EU right now? Is this done or is this in the process?
This is in process.
It's in process. It's proposed legislation.
I would say that there's a chance that it won't happen because all of Europe is actually concerned about this. Does the EU legislation? Who's holding the keys? If they're mandating encryption where keys are held in the cloud, well then that's kind of a different issue here.
What they're looking for, based on what I've read, is encryption that is more in line with end-to-end. And no, let me rephrase that. They're looking for true encryption. Encryption where there are no backdoors. Encryption where the data that we have through bank transactions, through text messages, whatever it is encrypted and secure, and no one else is holding the keys for those encrypted transactions.
Okay, well, that's good. How confident are you that
the proposal is saying that the principle of confidentiality that's protected by Article 7 should apply to current and future means of communication. So it's going to apply to everything going forward, any form of communication going forward.
Right. So then that translates to if you have an encrypted chat with someone, then there should be no back door through that encryption.
Right.
So I'm very confident in my interpretation of this.
Okay. Well, that's good. I hope that's the case. I would argue that there will be some forces within the EU that will be fighting that from the standpoint of law enforcement access to the bad guys, or to the perceived bad guys, to the alleged bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And if there was no discussion or dissension at all, then I'd be very concerned about the state of the EU government, because there should always be some sort of disagreement or discussion.
Sure.
And if not, then that tells me that there's something else in control, and these people are falling into lockstep, either by fear or by design.
Right. So there's one more thing on this here. Part of the whole issue that all of us face throughout the planet is the dam bursting. So like, you know, the first country that says that, you know, the government or law enforcement should have access to all of, you know, everyone's data. First time that happens, it's going to risk, the domino effect of many other countries doing the same thing. And the other aspect of that is, so Europe, if Europe takes a strong stance on personal encryption and personal data integrity, that will be, you know, a stronger dam, which would be fantastic. And the other thing is, Charlotte Henry wrote a great piece for us last week about how the EU elections, where Theresa May did not win a majority and may have to put together a coalition government, will dampen the drive to get these backdoors into everything within the UK itself. So we those of us who actually care about truly having our data protected from all the bad guys out there may have just kind of won a reprieve in this battle.
That's exactly what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, you and I, we're going to be at the same place at the same time, twice within a 2-month window. We just saw each other at Worldwide Developer Conference and AltConf. Yeah. And next month in July, we're both going to be at MacStock.
Really?
True story. So, yeah, July 15th and 16th. So
Wait. Do they know about this?
Well, they do now. They
apparently don't.
Yeah. Seems like a terrible absent judgment on somebody's part.
Oh, Brian, it gets worse. We're both speaking.
Oh, my goodness. What are you speaking about?
I'm going to be talking about getting started with smart home automation.
Oh, that seems really good.
Yeah. And what are you talking about?
I'm going to be doing a presentation on, it's technically called These Apple Times, They Are a-Changin', but that's just sort of a cop-out title, because when I go and speak to a mug, I talk about whatever is currently going on and try to contextualize it, sort of like doing the Apple Context Machine or even this show without you. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they bought into this idea. They're going to let me do that. I'm kind of thinking about talking this year about who is Apple? Like, who is Apple today?
What is
Apple today?
Okay. Well, I want to sit in on your presentation.
Oh, I'm going to sit in on yours.
Oh, sweet.
Are you going to heckle me?
With love.
Oh, okay. All right. Sweet.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. I may have to make an Amazon Echo joke at your expense.
Oh yeah. Oh, I would do that.
Yeah. It seems totally appropriate.
That seems a no brainer, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, feel free to heckle me about, the occasional time where I say Apple won't do that. And then they do.
You mean like all the times?
Now, see, I love how you conflate that into all the times, but sure, we'll go with that because it makes you feel
pretty
good.
Much all of the times.
Hey,
if you stacked up the times, all of them would be that where that's the case.
Anyhow, this is July 15th and 16th, and Brian and I will both be there, and we'd love to see all of you there. This is like taking the fun parts of getting to hang out with all the cool people you remember from Macworld Expo and packing it into sort of a Mac user group kind of feel, and it's a 2-day long event, and there's going to be tons of really awesome presentations. Brian and I, of course, are both speaking. It wraps up with this really great barbecue event. I hear there will be karaoke, Brian.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, it's a great place to get your Mac and your iPhone on and learn stuff about both. I heartily recommend it.
Yes, please come and hang out with us.
Speaking of places, where is it?
This is going to be in Woodstock, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll have a link in the show notes today so people can find it. It's maxstockconferenceandexpo.com. So come join us. It's going to be a blast.
Maybe I'll try. That's not far from me.
Oh, that would be so cool. It's been so long since we've been in the same place at the same time.
I know.
If you can make it, please do.
I'll do what I can.
Awesome. All right. Hey, there's another thing that I want to talk about today. As long as we're on this kind of legal thing, we might as well stick with that. And there's this bill that's being proposed in Colorado, so where I am, that would limit the ages where you can buy a smartphone. Brian, you saw a little bit about this. Did I get that right?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I think you got that right. Top men. So we have a do-gooder parent who basically wants to this is ridiculous stuff. So basically, they want to make it illegal to sell smartphones to children under the age of 13. So they're not trying to ban ownership or usage of its sales too. And you know what? That's ridiculous because children under age 12 aren't buying the smartphones. It's the parents that are buying the smartphones.
Right. I was going to say, is this really a problem?
Well, there may or may not be a problem with young people being on devices.
I don't disagree with that.
One can have a very legitimate discussion about the harmful effects of digital exposure, digital communication, online communication with children who have not yet developed the brain capacity and life experience to be able to make good choices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But nonetheless, how will stopping tweens from buying a phone stop this?
It won't stop. I don't know. Maybe they're looking at it as a you know, foot in the door kind of legislation. Like if you can ban sales, then you know, then it'll be easier to actually ban usage. I'm not really sure. I just, this is pointless, and I disagree with even the principle behind it.
It feels like going a step beyond helicopter parenting to helicopter governmenting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like trying to project your own desire to helicopter onto everybody else. So.
And I'm still not getting how saying, hey, look, you know, you're under 14, you can't buy a phone, is going to stop anyone who's under 14 from having a phone. No, because your parents buy it for you, 17, you get it as a hand-me-down, whatever.
You get your 17-year-old, you know, if you actually are a 12-year-old and you've got enough money to buy the Android or iPhone of your choice, and you can't because you're only 12, well, then you get your 17-year-old brother to do it for you.
Right.
So it's like the alcohol of the
or your mom. 17s.
Or your mom, yeah.
Okay, granted, I live in the Rust Belt, and we're economically depressed, and we probably always will be. But how many sub-13-year-olds have $600 or $700 laying around that they're going to go out and buy their own iPhone?
There's a lot of cheap. Android.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can go to Walmart and pick one up for $50.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they're not.
But it's not like they're actually going to be able to do anything with that piece of crap.
Right. Right.
This is, I mean, and like, so I'm 13, and I'm 13, and I want to go buy a smartphone. I'm going to be carded. Well, I don't have an idea. It's like, just ridiculous, man. Go worry about other things. Go solve an actual problem.
Let parents be parents. Encourage parents to be parents.
Yeah, get. I mean, you know, if you could cite evidence for how a young person using a smartphone is in some way harmful, get involved in some kind of education program, or you know, try to get involved with research. Get involved with your school board. I mean, I think, for instance, that it's entirely reasonable to say that kids can't have cell phones in school. Yeah. They can't have them out in school. And of course, we yes, we all know the kids are going to find a way to do them when no one's looking. That's fine. That's this is called being young. But right. I mean, I don't know. This is not the thing. This is the dumb thing. Don't do this thing. It's just stupid. Mm-hmm. It's now it's being proposed that they need to get 300,000 signatures before to even make it onto the ballot. So Jeff, Gamut.
Yes.
Do you think Colorado would vote in support of this?
Nope.
Why?
Because and
are you projecting? Or are you making an? Are you making a?
Oh no, I'm not projecting. It's it just the current political vibe that I feel in Colorado is mm-hmm. that most people of voting age are going to be so disinterested in this that I mean honestly, right now. The big thing in Colorado is making sure that the weed laws work the way people want.
Ooh.
And it seems like there's a lot of other issues that people are more concerned about than whether or not a 13-year-old can buy a phone.
It can buy, it's the buying thing. It's like, I don't know, if you're going to like ban ownership, this buying thing is just so ridiculous, man. And selling a smartphone to a preteen would incur a written warning, while a second offense would be met with a $500 fine. So now, so like we're gonna have cops like keeping a database of, you know, the D. I mean, like, man, there's real stuff to worry about. There's so many problems in this country. So many, like, I don't care what your political persuasions are. There are problems that need addressing in the United States of frickin' America, including Colorado.
Yeah. Yes, and this in Colorado we've had other helicopter laws that and it's I don't know if that's a real term, but it is now the helicopter laws.
I like it. I like it.
We've had other helicopter law proposals that have come up and fizzled out. So I think this one will follow the same path. The unfortunate thing is that it's going to take up resources that could be going to something else before it fizzles out.
Yeah, right. Something else that actually matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, am I off base here? Are we off base here thinking that this is a ridiculous bill? And am I off base thinking that it's just going to fizzle out in Colorado? Let me know what you think, because I want your opinions. I may have played an attorney on stage, but I'm betting at least one of you has actually been paid to be an attorney. So let me.
I can one up that though. I've watched a movie where there is an attorney character.
Oh my god!
So I think that qualifies me as a complete expert.
Oh yeah, between us, we can start a legal firm.
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay, yeah. I've read books about attorneys, so I've.
Oh, dude, I'm three of us. So it'll be Gamut, Butts, and Chaffin.
Oh, this is going to be the best law firm ever. We can't wait to represent you.
We're signing up clients now. Send us your money.
Oh, holy crap. Okay, we need to wrap up. But listeners, let me know what you think. You can send me emails. That would be observations@macobserver.com. You can send me tweets. That would be @TMODaily. And of course, you can leave comments in the show notes. And I'm thinking that with some of the comments that have been coming in recently, that I'm going to have to take some time this week on one of the episodes and respond to what you guys are saying. So thank you for sending in the comments. I absolutely love it. And with that, cool. we really are out of time. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having us, man. It was a fun discussion.
It was fun. Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks, man. Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. I feel like we just got started.
Well, we did, actually 24 minutes ago. But hey, we did just get started. Listeners, come and join Brian and me at MacStock in Please. Woodstock, Illinois. It's July 15th and 16th. I'll have a link in the show notes for you. And thanks for being here. I love that you join me every single day. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.